true and faithful God. Yes, oh, what a precious friend is he, for he daily walks with me. Troubles come unbidden on my way, but with Jesus they can never stay. Unafraid I look for victory, Jesus walks with me. Yes, Jesus is walking by my side, and he is a true and faithful guide. Yes, oh, what a precious friend is he, for he daily walks with me.
As we reflect upon life and man's destiny, we should ask ourselves how we feel about the Bible. Is it God's Word? Do we believe it contains the truth? If so, do we spend enough time studying it? Are we really interested enough in God to learn what God is saying to us today? While we present today's lesson from the Word of God, get your own Bible and follow along with us verse by verse as the great message of God is given. We believe in teaching the Bible as it is written, by keeping each passage in its proper context and interpreting it so that it does not conflict with any other part of God's Word. Each of these lessons is available free on cassette tape. For your free copy of any of these lessons presented on this program, please contact me, Dr. N.C. Crouch, Hamilton, Texas. We're continuing in the book of Ruth, the first chapter, and we've just gotten through the ninth verse. Naomi is returning back to Israel after the death of her husband and her two sons. And her two daughters-in-law are accompanying her back a part of the way as she makes her journey back home. Her family came to Moab at least 10 years ago because of a famine that was in the land of Israel. And during this 10-year period, her husband died, her two sons got married, and they died, and now she's making her return back. She's heard that the conditions in Israel are now better. The famine has lifted, and so she's going back home. And as she makes the travel back toward her home country, her two daughters-in-law are accompanying her and helping her to get out of the land of Moab. And now they come to a time of parting. Verse 9 says, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." So Naomi anticipates that they will go back and have a husband and have a family of their own in their home country. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Verse 10, "And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." So we see here that in this moment of great emotion, this moment that is clouded by the great parting between these three women, they make the statement that we'll return with thee unto thy people. We'll just go with you, Naomi. We'll go and make our home with you. And certainly this would be something Naomi might desire. She'd like to see these two women come out of their idolatrous relationship with the God of the Moabites. She'd like to see them go and become a proselyte with the people of God and be worshipers of the true and living God. But she also no doubt realized that snap judgments made in the heat of emotion do not last. To resolve to make an entire change of the life, to leave one's people and one's home country and one's former god or gods and make such a complete turnabout requires more than just a hasty snap decision in a moment of emotion. Naomi realized this, and so Naomi tries to dissuade them, because if they can ever be dissuaded from this resolve to go with her, if they ever have any second thoughts, if they ever have any desire to go back to their home country, now is the time to find that out. Now is the time to make the turn. For now, it'll be much less grievous for them to turn and go back and to leave Naomi forever than to make a resolution to go with her and then be sorry for having done it, and then maybe later go back on that resolve and cause much, much more sorrow in the aftermath of that later decision. So, in beginning in verse 11, Naomi tries to talk him out of going, and she gives some good reasons. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Why, to go with me, I do not have any more sons. There are no sons or relatives who can marry you and take the place of the two sons that have died and do what a normal kinsman would do and bring about more offspring in the name of this family. That can't happen. I don't have any more sons. We're going back to nothing. We don't have any family there that would be able to do this." So she says, "Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. I don't even have any hope of having any more sons. I'm too old to have a husband. I'm too old to be starting a family. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight who should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Even if I had sons, even if I were going to have more children, you wouldn't want to wait till they were grown before you married somebody? That would be too long to wait. Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And so she says, not only can I not give you any hope of providing a husband for you from my family, but because the hand of the Lord is gone against me, because I'm in some dire and unhappy straits now, I'm having to endure some punishment of the Lord, then it grieves me for your sakes. I'm afraid this punishment's also going to rub off on you, that you're going to have to suffer some of the same consequences that I have been having to suffer. And it seems to what Naomi may be referring to here, when she talks about the hand of the Lord is going out against me, she's done something that's displeasing to God that would cause her to feel that the hand of the Lord is going out against her. And this is maybe referring to the loss of her husband and her sons by death. But as a result of her having left with her family, the whole family was at fault, having left the land of Israel and gone over to Moab during a time of trial, during a time of famine, then she may realize that the Lord looked upon this in a displeasing manner, and that she interprets then the things that have happened to her as the Lord having gone against her, the hand of the Lord gone out against me, she says. And since she is then having to take some chastisement because of falling into disfavor with God, then she feels that these daughters-in-law, if they go with her, that they will also suffer part of this same grief. And so it grieveth me much for your sakes. I'm concerned about what's going to happen to you because the hand of the Lord is going out against me. So that's another reason not to go with me. That's another reason to turn back. I'm a marked woman. I'm in a period of chastisement by the Lord. His hand's gone out against me. And so whatever befalls me in my punishment may also befall you. And so I'm concerned for your sakes. It grieveth me for your sakes because of this situation. So we can see how Naomi is using all the arguments at her disposal, all the things she can think of to say here to persuade these women not to go with her. And it would be bad for them to make a hasty choice, to make such a great decision and change in their life to go with Naomi back into the land of Canaan. And so she realizes that this must not happen for everybody's well-being. It'll not do the girls any good to go if they're not really resolved to want to go, and it certainly won't help Naomi any. And in the last analysis, God will not be served either. This decision for Orpah and Ruth to go with Naomi would have been a very great decision in their lives. And the same situation exists to a very great extent in the lives of each person today if they resolve to follow the Savior. If we resolve to take on the Christian walk and the cross that goes with that, then we must not do so lightly, because it's a major decision and a major change in our life. And if we're not really truly converted, if we're not really truly one who has thought the thing through and realized the great cost that it's going to require, then we're not going to be faithful. And our Savior talked along this very same line in Matthew the 8th chapter, beginning with the 19th and the 20th verse. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now the man didn't really know what the key. And so Jesus puts this in the next verse. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have, and the birds of the air have, but the Son of Man hath not his head. Are you sure you're with me? Are you sure you'll be able to, under those circumstances, not even having a place to lay your head, being in a situation where you're living the kind of a life where you can't call any place home and peace and security because of the tumult that surrounded the ministry of Jesus? And so if a person really knew what the cost was, they might change their mind and decide, well, that's not for me. Because if they are not very muchly resolved to follow through all the way, they're not going to be faithful. They're not going to last. They'll have to turn back. And Naomi seems to have known this as she tries to persuade these women not to go with her. We have this lesson also taught in Matthew 19, beginning with the 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he saith unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So the man wanted to follow Jesus, But when he really found out what the cost would be, he went away. He turned back. It would have done no good for him to have taken the first step even, because he wasn't resolved to be able to pay the price that would be required to follow the Savior. So we can see that Naomi is showing great wisdom as she tries to persuade these two daughters-in-law not to go with her on into the land of Canaan. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. So there's still more weeping, more sadness, more sorrow at the very thought of parting. But and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Orpah realized that although it was a very sad thing to do, now was the time to part. She kissed her mother-in-law, still had great tender feeling for her, much closeness, much affection. But still she realized that it wasn't for her to make the trip all the way into Canaan. But Ruth was a different story. Ruth clave unto her. This reaffirmed the resolve of Ruth to stay with Naomi. All the dark picture that Naomi painted to Ruth about the trip back to the land of Canaan and the hardships there involved and how she didn't have anything to offer her did not change Ruth's mind. Ruth clave unto her. Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So Orpah had made the decision to go back. She'd go back to her people, back to her country, and unto her gods. Now this shows that up to this point, the women had not been converted to the religion of Naomi. They had not been made proselytes of the true and living God. They had not even made a decision to become proselytes. And so before that decision was made, Naomi once again tries to persuade Ruth to go back. Go back with your sister-in-law. She's gone back to her people and to her gods. And of course, if this is what Orpah wanted to do, she's going to be much more content, much more happy to be with those false gods than to try to follow the true and living God and not really believing, not really wanting, not really being given over to the change that would be required for her to do that. And so it is today. It'd be better for a person to never take the first step towards serving the true and living God than to halfway make the decision, half-heartedly be converted, maybe even doing it under the persuasion of relatives or friends or sweetheart. It'd be better to never take the first step than to take it and then turn back. But Ruth was truly persuaded that this is what she wanted to do. Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Stop talking against me, Naomi. Stop trying to persuade me not to do this. Stop giving all these reasons why I should go back. And one translation says that Ruth said, be not against me. Stop giving me all the disadvantages to try to talk me out of going with you back to Canaan, back to where the people of God are and serving the true and living God. Now that I've resolved to do that, that's talking against me. That's being against me. So stop trying to persuade me to leave you. I've decided I want to go, and I am going. And then she gives her feelings as to really how strong this resolve is. She says, for whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part between thee and me. Now, this is one of the most famous resolutions in all of history. It's a very famous passage, and it's rightfully so, because it outlines the things that are necessary for a person to truly make a resolution to change their life. These principles that Ruth applies to herself here apply to any person who wants to follow after God. It applies to any kind of a close tie, like even the marriage tie. Note that the first thing she says here is that whether thou goest, I will go. she will travel with Naomi. Wherever Naomi goes, she's going to travel with her. Though this be to a country that she's never seen before, it's a country that is in a low and ill opinion of the people of Moab. Probably all she'd ever heard about Israel from her home country was that it was a bad place, that the people were bad people, that they were of a bad character, and so she really had no good reason to want to go there. But yet, she's resolved, I will go where you go. I'm going to travel where you travel. The second thing she says is, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I'm going to dwell with you, though it be but in a cottage. Whatever the humble circumstances of your dwelling, I'll dwell with you. I'm going to stay with you. The third thing she mentions is that she's going to have the same interest that Naomi has. Thy people shall be my people. From Naomi's character, she concludes that this must be a great nation, that this must be a wise and understanding people, and she's able to judge this nation only by the example of Naomi, who, wherever she went, seems to have been a credit to her country. Of course, we know that the most important element of any place we go to is the people that are there. And so Ruth had been so persuaded that these were going to be good people as a result of what she knew about Naomi that she says, thy people shall be my people. Naomi had been a good example. And of course, we today need to be a good example. We need to be an example of the members of the church. We need to be an example of the land to which we're going, that heavenly land, an example that will cause people then to want to have these people to be their people. The fourth thing she says is, thy God shall be my God. Now, to really make this a true resolve meant that she would be saying farewell to all the gods of Moab, which are certainly a vanity and a lie. She is saying, I will adore the God of Israel, the only living and true God. I will trust in him alone. I will serve him, and I will in everything be ruled by him. For that's what it means to take the Lord for our God. And fifthly, she says, where thou diest, will I die. Now, of course, she takes it for granted that they're going to both have to die. And Naomi may even die before she does because Naomi is older. But she is going to die in the same place that Naomi dies. That is, she's not going to wander off. She's not going to leave this place that's going to be Naomi's land. She's going to be firmly attached to it, and she's going to be still there at the time of her death. She's going to die in the place that Naomi dies. And then the sixth thing she says is, there will I be buried. She does not desire to have her dead body carried back to the country of Moab. She's breaking all ties with Moab. This would be no final token of her kindness or attachment to Moab to be buried there. But she's going to be buried where Naomi is. But rather, she desires that she and Naomi may mingle together in the dust of the grave in hopes of rising together and being together forever in the other world. And then after making this very firm resolution, then she seals it with a solemn oath. She says, the Lord do so to me and more so, if aught but death part thee and me. So this was an oath for confirmation. And she implied, of course, in taking this oath, that death would separate between them for a time, but she said that she didn't want anything but death to be the separating thing. And there are ties in this life that are so binding that certainly nothing but death should be allowed to be the separating factor. This is true of family ties, and it's also true of marriage ties. So she implores that God should bring a curse upon her if she allows anything but death to separate between her and Naomi. So verse 18 says that when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Naomi made no more objections. Naomi did not try to persuade her to go back anymore once she saw what a firm resolve Ruth had to stay with her. Ruth clave unto her. when we decide to take up the walk and follow after the true God of heaven, we have to make a resolve very similar to what Ruth made here. We must resolve, first of all, to go where he goes. Wherever he would have us to go, wherever he would lead us, that's where we will go. We must also lodge where he lodges. God doesn't dwell every place. God doesn't dwell in a temple that's defiled. God does not set up his abode among those who are ungodly. So we must dwell where he dwells. We must resolve we're going to do that. And thirdly, we must do as Ruth said, thy people shall be my people. That is, the people that are truly the people of God, those that are saved, those that are Christians, regardless of their low status in life, regardless of the trials and persecutions and punishments they may have, these are our people. We want to be with them. We want to mingle with them. We want to be among them and be a part of them. And then fourthly, Ruth, thy God. That is, we're going to give all other gods, only one God. We turn away from all other influence, all other spiritual influence, only the influence of one God. He shall be our God, and truly our God, in that we're going to be faithful to him, we're going to serve him, and we're going to follow him until death. Fifthly, where thou diest, will I die. That is, we're going to die in the Lord. We're going to die faithful to him, and truly, if we are a Christian, then we'll not be separated by death. Death will be no separating point at all, but it'll only be the beginning then of a lasting, eternal relationship with the true and living God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And certainly this example of Ruth's resolve to go with Naomi, to go into the land of Canaan and to take her ways and her people and her God, it's an example for all of us today in any kind of a decision to follow the people of God. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.